Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 86.
The House will come to order. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Shepherd. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Shepherd.
Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for the beautiful day that we have today. We thank you for the blessings that we have, the love that you give each and every one of us in our heart for one another and our families and our state and our community and our nation. God, we pray today that you will be with our nation, be with our military men and women, wherever they are today, in behalf of this country. God, we thank you for the freedoms you bless us with. We thank you for each other, and we pray, God, that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to you and would respect one another out of our love for you. God, we pray that you'll bless us, anoint us, and give us wisdom in the decisions that we make, and we place a hedge of protection around each and every one of us and our families. In Christ's name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for June 26 has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for June 26 be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written today. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 88, an act to clarify the statutes regulating electrical contracts and enabling licensed electrical contractors employed by schools, hospitals, nonprofits to make repairs and conduct maintenance on all facilities at all times when done of the direction of the school, hospital, or nonprofit. Senate Bill 313, an act to reduce cost and housing affordability and streamlining the permanence guarantee process between developers and local governments. House Bill 67, an act to expand the prohibition of the removal, destruction, and driving through the roadway construction barriers to include dangerous roadway conditions, closure barriers. House Bill 310, an act to exempt limit of credit insurance producers of criminal background check requirements. House Bill 812, an act to amend to clarify the statutes governing the nutrient offset credit program. House Bill 886, an act to study the challenges of child care facility operators faced in participating in the North Carolina kindergarten program. House Bill 917, an act to clarify the local declaration of emergency, including authorities of closed roads of public vehicles, areas of public during the emergency. And the following bills duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 84, an act to amend the charter of the town of Walkertown to allow the town to enact certain procedures related to zoning and special use permitting. Senate Bill 262, an act to prohibit hunting and fishing on private property without written permission from the landowner or license to prohibit hunting on the private property while under the influence of an impaired substance in Union County. Senate Bill 674, an act to change the method of election of the Board of Education to Surrey County and the Board of Education of Mount Airy City Schools Administrative Units and the Board of Education of Elk City Administrative Unit and nonpartisan to partisan. House Bill 15, an act amending the charter of the City of Lexington to dissolve the City Utilities Commission. House Bill 240, an act to allow the City of Albemarle to use the city labor for certain work related to the construction of business center without regards to a dollar value of the labor. House Bill 299, an act providing that the Henderson County is authorized to construct community college buildings on the Henderson County campus of Blue Ridge Community College to be used for art, science, and general studies and police physical abilities testing training and to authorize the county to make substantial renovations of existing campus buildings.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, the chair is going to deviate a little bit from the normal schedule for a couple of couple of special recognitions. First off, we are honored to have with us today Alexandra Badgett, who is our current Miss North Carolina, and I wanted to invite her to the well. She wanted to say a couple of words to us. Miss Badgett, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you all so much for having me today. They asked if I wanted to come and share a few words, and I just wanted to get up here to just express my gratitude for each and every one of you and all you do for the state of North Carolina. I am more than honored to be able to serve this great state throughout the year and am very eager to see where this year takes me. I will be promoting my social impact initiative, No Is Not Enough, aiming to deepen the anti-rape slogan, No Means No, extending it further to increase reporting numbers while lowering sexual assault statistics across college campuses in the state of North Carolina. I am more than honored to be standing in front of you all today. So just thank each and every one of you for your sincere and heartwarming welcome. It has been a great day and a great morning being here. And thank you all for the opportunity to come here today. Y'all have a great rest of your day, and I will hopefully see you all again throughout my reign. Again, thank y'all and have a wonderful time.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having filed a representative statement with the clerk, I request it be read to its end entirety by the reading clerk and spread across the journal.
The gentleman's request is honored. The clerk will read.
A representative statement honoring the Highway Patrol, whereas between 1921 and 1929, the number of registered vehicles in North Carolina increased from 150,558 to 503,590. And whereas on March 18, 1929, the General Assembly enacted legislation to a state highway patrol as the state's highways and enforced the motor vehicle laws to assist in monitoring public. And whereas the state first highway patrol training began on May 20th, 1929 at Camp Glen near Moorhead City. And whereas on July 1st, 1929, 37 of 42 participants who completed the training were sworn in as members of the state highway patrol. And whereas initially patrol officers were issued Harley-Davidson motorcycles, lieutenants were issued Ford Model A coupes, and the patrol commander was issued a Buick automobile. And whereas in 1937, all patrol officers were assigned individual vehicles and legislature authorized a statewide radio system for the purpose of coordinating operations and improving the efficiency of highway patrol. And whereas today, the state highway patrol consists of more than 1,600 officers and 600 civilians. And whereas for 90 years, the state highway patrol has not only stayed true to its mission of enforcing the state motor vehicle laws and reducing the number of collisions in North Carolina's 78,000 miles of highway, but also handled other duties such as guiding traffic during severe weather conditions and rerouting traffic around hazardous chemical spills. And whereas the officers of the State Highway Patrol have dutifully served the citizens of this state despite the danger patrol officers often encounter. And whereas more than 66 officers have lost their lives in the line of duty, including George I. Thompson, the first State Highway Patrol officer to be killed in the line of duty. Officer Thompson was killed on July 2, 1929, while riding a motorcycle on the way to his assigned duty station. And whereas it is important to recognize and acknowledge the State Highway Patrol for its invaluable service to the citizens of North Carolina. Now, therefore, the members of the North Carolina Highway Patrol deserve to be acknowledged for their dedication and commitment to making North Carolina's highways safe, and the organization deserves to be honored on its 90th anniversary. A witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on the 27th day of June, 2019, submitted by Representative Mitchell Setzer, James White, House Principal Clerk.
The gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, it is fitting that we honor the 90th anniversary of the North Carolina State Highway Patrol. As our state premier law enforcement agency, when we are in need, they are there. It doesn't matter whether it's a hurricane on the coast or a fire in the mountains or whatever calamity befalls us, the Highway Patrol is ever vigilant and always in place to serve the citizens of this state. This hallmark did not arrive to us lightly, and it was not done without sacrifice. But with the men and women of the patrol, we can always feel comfort in whatever endeavor happens to the state of North Carolina. They are there. On a personal note, I can always say that I was in good hands the day that I had a vertigo attack in the north lobby, and there's nothing like laying up there like a big trout rolling around waiting on an ambulance. And when I finally arrived at the hospital, a trooper was there and brought me back home, if you could consider this building home. And but they brought me back in good form. And on behalf of the members of the House of Representatives and the Senate, I would like to thank the members of the Highway Patrol for your service to this state. We don't often thank you for what you do, but that appreciation is ever present. If we can ever be service to you, please let us know, because you are always at service for us, our constituents, and everyone that comes through the great state of North Carolina. I commend this to you.
The lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Logan, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to speak on behalf of the North Carolina State Highway Patrol. For being a member to serve with such a prestigious organization, for the time that I spent most of my adult life serving the people of this great state in Mecklenburg County, wearing that gray uniform. Everywhere that I went, there was the Highway Patrol. At my wedding, well, thank you. There were members of the Highway Patrol. When my daughters were born, you know, my oldest daughter was the reason that there's a limited duty policy that benefits all members of the Highway Patrol, but there was the Highway Patrol, well, claiming to be fathers of my daughters, probably why I'm divorced now, but they were there buying gifts and planning my baby showers. There were members of the Highway Patrol. I was just telling someone the other day, when my mother passed away in 2011, and we were wondering how we were going to get through the streets, there was the Highway Patrol saluting the hearses that went by and saluting my car as I drove through the streets of Asheville and telling the troopers to get out of the cars and put their hats on, is what the sergeants was telling them. And members of the Asheville Police Department was telling the stories how the people in Asheville wanted to know who was that person being buried that day, because they was thought it was somebody really big, and they said that was a trooper's mother being honored that way. But that's how the Highway Patrol honored me. All of my adult life, being a member of the Highway Patrol made me who I am today. The way they trained me. I told someone the other day, they said, although the way I was trained, they said, no one would ever treat you like this again, and no one does. Hold your head up is what I was told. Keep your shoulders straight. Keep your shoulders upright. And that's the way I carry myself today. Everyone who sees me now knows that at one time or another, I served someone great, and that was the North Carolina State Highway Patrol. They're world known. They're nationwide known for the way they train, for who they are, the way they carry themselves. Everywhere I go, I talk of the Highway Patrol. I am proud to have served with such a prestigious organization. Everywhere they do go, they do an excellent job. They serve this state well for the people of this state and for those who pass through this great state of ours. So let's honor them for the 90 years and what they have done for us and what they will continue to do. We owe them our gratitude, our thanks, because they are there. They're out there in blizzards, I know. They're out there with the water up around their ankles. They're changing tires. They're giving people a ray of hope when no one else is there, the highway patrol is there all times of weather, holidays, weekends. They're missed at all times with their families. They are there. I was happy to look up and see those gray shirts. I told them, I've got backup. They have always had my back. So I'm looking at you. I'm proud of you guys. Most of you know me, some of you don't. But I will always, to the day I die, be proud of the day I wore that gray uniform. I was your first female to retire from the organization. I am proud of you. Thank you for being here, and I want this chamber to honor the Highway Patrol. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
On behalf of all members of the House, Colonel McNeil, we want to welcome you and the other members of the Highway Patrol Command Staff who are here with us today. We appreciate your sacrifice, the hard work that the men and women of the Highway Patrol do every day. We really appreciate it, and you honor us with your presence here today. Thanks again for all you do, and congratulations on this anniversary. Members, the chair's been informed that there will actually be a formal ceremony tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the Capitol for those members who are still in town tomorrow would like to attend. I'm sure your presence would be appreciated. Representative Lewis, recognized, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee report, Senate Bill 332, Civil Procedures, Limitations, Land Surveyors, Favorable House Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Calendar, House Committee Substitute, Calendar, pursuant to Rule 36B. Any objections to this bill being added to today's calendar? It's House Bill, Senate Bill 332, short title Civil Procedure Limitations, Land Surveyors. Hear no objection. The chair will add that to today's calendar. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren recognize, send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, Finance Committee report. House Bill 536, ABC Omnibus Regulatory Reform, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1, and re-refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Committee substitute number 1 is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitute number 2 is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, Health Committee report, Senate Bill 210, Organ and Tissue Donation, Heart Heroes, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 297, Cancer Research Advisory Panel, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 86, Small Business Health Care Act, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar, and the House Committee Substitute is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White are recognized. Send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, Health Committee report. Senate Bill 212, Child Welfare Agent Component, NCFAST, favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar, and the House Committee substitute is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 6, the clerk will read.
Representatives Ross and Rydell, House Bill 6, a bill to be entitled act authorizing the Burlington Alamance Report Authority to enter into leases and contracts with the terms not exceed 40 years. Jimson, North Carolina, enacts.
Gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a bill that passed the House unanimous lease agreement for the Burlington Airport. Went to the Senate. The only change that was made in the Senate was to the date at the end of the bill, and so I ask that you support the Senate committee substitute.
Is the gentleman making a motion that the House concur?
Yes.
The gentleman has moved the House concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 6. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 111, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 6, and the Senate will be so notified. Members, we're going to go ahead and move ahead to take up the Appropriations Act on third reading. House Bill 966, the clerk will read.
House Bill 966, the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on House Bill 966, bill to be entitled Act to make base budget appropriations for current operations of the state agencies, departments, and institutions. The conferees recommended for the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Today, conferees approved June 25th, 2019. General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
And Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that House Bill 6 also be enrolled. The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And thank you, colleagues, for your good vote yesterday. I won't prolong this debate because I think by now most of us have had a chance to go through the budget in a fair amount of detail. And I know most of us probably know how we're going to vote at this point. But I do want to share a few additional comments and observations. You know, much of our discussion yesterday was related to critical areas and needs that usually get most of the attention. Things like teacher salary, disaster relief, our capital programs. But I wanted to dig a little deeper into the weeds to highlight some of the good things included in this budget. I've been part of a budget work for around 45 years in a variety of different organizations, from church boards to nonprofits to for-profits. I have yet to see a perfect budget. There are the usual priority setting goals within the funds available. This budget is no exception. There are areas in which I wish we could do more. But overall, this is a good budget worthy of our support. This budget is a good balance that makes a commitment to savings and infrastructure, to return some of the taxes paid by our citizens to them, and appropriates funds to the highest and best priorities. Yes, there are 24 billion reasons to support this budget. Are there just numbers on a page in this book? No, not really. Think about zeros having a face behind them. Our diversity of children, blue-collar workers, professionals, skilled laborers, retirees, people who look to us to guide and move the state forward. Those zeros help fund programs like the following, which you may or may not be aware of. Funds to offset co-pays for poor and disadvantaged students eligible for reduced price lunches, $3 million. $1.6 million additional for our summer governor's school. Additional funds for services provided to parents of children who are deaf or hard of hearing. A continued commitment to NC Promise. Funds for construction of a new wing at the SECU Family House to provide affordable housing for critically ill patients and families when visiting the UNC hospital. New funds to expand the telemedicine pilot program in our rural areas, helping with access in rural North Carolina. Funds for rural health loan assistance programs to recruit doctors, PAs, dentists, nurse practitioners to rural areas, $4.5 million. Additional funds for prescription assistance for indigent and uninsured persons for medications, $2.2 million. Funds, a grant program to help stabilize some of our rural hospitals on the brink of bankruptcy. Now, I could go on. There's hundreds and hundreds of items in here that help people in North Carolina. that my guess is if we went individually, item by item, we would have 99%, if not 100% of the support for each one of those areas. There's certainly a lot of good in this state budget. A vote against this budget is a vote against these programs. It will impact people. A vote no puts our innovative Medicaid reform efforts in serious jeopardy of staying on schedule. A vote against does not necessarily mean we expand Medicaid. We need to pass this budget with a strong vote and come back in a special session and deal with critical health care access issues. The health care system is broken, and let's do something meaningful to help improve access and care. I get it. Some of you were put here by your party for a purpose. You owe some allegiance to those who put you here. I get it. But are you willing to simply go into a new year with no budget? Because that is what we're about to do. Our 2018-19 budget rolls forward to fund basic services. But there will be no raises, no step increases for teachers, no funds to work on needed reforms, infant mortality, or the opioid crisis. It delays needed repairs, capital projects, and I could go on and on. Serious implications to this state if we do not pass a budget. Now is the time to vote yes for the people of North Carolina, for needed programs, deal with issues that are outside the realm of this budget in different ways, and let's just get this behind us and move on to some more important issues. Remember, all of these zeros when you vote. Support the faces of our people, of all diversities, who are looking to us to do the right thing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
To debate the conference report.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you. Members, last night I couldn't sleep. Not because of the parts of the budget I do not like, but because I cannot help but think we have done the people of North Carolina a disservice with the budget process. I offered my assistance with the budget to some of you and was never taken up on the offer, nor was my leadership. I am dismayed at this decision. When I changed my life to come here, it was not to sit in an office. I came here to work for the people of North Carolina. I am aware that those people are not all Democrats. Many of my constituents are Republicans, Libertarians, and other various parties, and I have a lot of respect for what they think and believe. In fact, I host a town hall every month at the American Legion Post in Cary, not to further my Democratic agenda, but to further the discussion about the needs of the people of District 11, no matter what party they're from. I hope I have shown by my treatment of my colleagues in this House that I respect you, and I respect that we will not always agree. But what I cannot understand is how can we even begin to agree if we do not work together? The people of North Carolina elected all of us and expect all of us to put our differences aside, work together to represent all of North Carolina. I am voting no on this budget because the people of North Carolina deserve better. They deserve a budget that represents all of North Carolina. They deserve to have their elected officials work together. That's what can happen if you join me in voting no. Then we can work to put our differences aside, roll up our sleeves, and give North Carolina what it deserves. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To speak on the conference report.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, yesterday I should have been clear that I don't question the motives or the good intent of the Health and Human Services Appropriations Chairs. They are good people. They didn't have very much money to work with. They actually did some good things with the small amount of money they worked with that I was pleased with. They increased the salary for pre-K teachers. That's really an important process. They expanded the innovations waiver, slots. That's something that I've been working for a long time. I appreciated that. They expanded the very successful nurse-family partnership. Those are, as Representative Lambeth said, there's a lot of good in that. despite the good work, there are some serious deficits in HHS that need to be fixed before the budget is passed. Primary among them is the Secretary's ability to retain essential staff during the critical rollout of the transformation. We can't do anything to stop the managed care companies recruiting her top Medicaid people, but we can fix the $42 million administrative reduction, and we can take out the provision moving DHHS to Granville County, where it would also cause her to lose many of her staff. There was some question yesterday about whether or not we, at some point, couldn't we be cutting positions in DHHS, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, DHHS, the Medicaid budget, the providers provide the service, and then they submit claims. And so a lot of claims come in all the time, and we have a huge claims processing office over there. Well, all those claims are going to be paid by the providers that are in the managed care companies. So, or they'll be paid by the managed care companies. So can't we cut those positions? That's true. But just as the claims processing role is winding down in Health and Human Services, the regulatory role will be rolling up. It will be increasing. So we'll have to have a large office of regulators overseeing all the managed care companies and the providers, making sure that they're actually spending the taxpayer dollars in the best way that they can. One way we can learn about this is what other states have done. Tennessee is one of the best, has one of the best Medicaid programs in the nation. They have a budget, a Medicaid budget about the same size of ours. They have 100 more employees there than we do right now. So you can't always cut staff just because you've gone to Medicaid managed care. In addition to beefing up your regulatory role, during the first few years of Medicaid managed care, new people will be coming into the system, and so the roles actually go up for a while. And those people, new people who come in, are sicker than the population that's being served. And we experienced that at our Community Care Network of North Carolina. Every time we rolled in a new illness to be covered, our cost went up for 12 to 18 months while those people got well. It's a lot less expensive to treat well people than it is to treat sick people. And so your expenses go up for a while before they go down. So so we still have some work to be done to make that that issue. That also has to do with the rebase. There were some differences in rebasing the Medicaid budget has to do with projecting the money that's going to come in next year. And so there was a difference in that. I hope that can get fixed. I know that a couple of other things that I'm concerned about in the Medicaid budget or the Health and Human Services budget is I hope that we can pledge going forward that we will not continue to supplant state dollars with federal dollars that come in for early childhood. When those early childhood dollars come in, let's add them to the state dollars we have and expand, use that money to expand our services. That's one of the most We all agree on that early childhood education is important and it's good. Let's move forward and use those federal dollars to expand those slots instead of cutting state dollars. And then I also hope that we can agree that we will stop cutting single stream funding for the mental health services. That's money that covers the uninsured. In 2001, we had about $500 million in single-stream funding to cover the uninsured mentally ill. We aren't expanding Medicaid right now. If we expanded Medicaid, we could do that. That's a big, big issue. That's a big issue with why we should expand Medicaid. But until we do, we have to help cover those people with state-funded dollars, 100% state-funded dollars. That money is now being cut. This budget cuts that down to about $291 million. In 2001, That fund was at about $500 million. So we're cutting money for the uninsured, and they're ending up in our jails and prisons and in our emergency rooms. So let's moving forward, I hope we can agree to do that. Thank you very much.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Holly, rise?
To speak on the budget.
The lady has the floor to debate the bill.
Everybody, you know, when you got a little free time and you want to get a good book, and just go curl up somewhere and read it. I look for a good novel a lot of times, but this budget was not it. It was a mediocre novel with little to no social redeeming value. It was the underlying theme was robbing Peter to pay Paul. In two areas in particular, we used tax cuts and gave tax cuts to the wealthy, and we provided pork projects to some of us, and we cut many of the programs to pay for it. I'll give you an example. I'm not going to be long-winded, but one of the examples is housing. Housing in North Carolina has become a crisis state. We are all looking at our counties trying to figure out where we're going to put people and provide decent places for our workforce to live. At a time when we should be increasing money in the budget for housing, we choose to cut the workforce, North Carolina Housing Loan Program in half. We funded it for the first year and no funding for the second year at all. That makes our crisis even more and just kicks the can down the road. The other area that I'm upset about, and quite upset about this because I take this personally, is that I understand the desire and the need for industry to go in other counties and other rural areas. But this is the second time that without discussion, without much input from the community, that industry from one area is being taken to another. And I live in Raleigh, and our industry here is government. And we have a wonderful governmental entity in the Department of Health and Human Services. Yet without consulting with us, without talking about us, this got put in the budget to go to another county. Now, I know the county sees it as an economic windfall, and they're real excited about it coming. But I have to look at the people who worked there for 10 and 15 years that are now losing their jobs, not knowing what can they do because they can't travel to Granville County every day. Now, I don't blame Granville County. I blame the budget writers because I think that we could have at least set this thing out on bid and looked at the total overall package. So now is the time that we need to move in a new direction. And it's not done in this budget. I would like to say that we can expand through growth. North Carolina is growing rapidly. So instead of taking something from one place to put it to another, let's bring some of the new industries in some of our underserved areas. Let's see if we can work together on building new communities as opposed to trying to take from another. So as I go to bed tonight, I must go with saying that this novel was not worth reading.
For what purpose did the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise?
To speak on the conference report. The
gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I rise just to say a few comments about two things that are missing in this budget. We have not closed the coverage gap and expanded Medicaid. There's 5,000 faces that are not included in this budget. It's wasteful. There's $5 million left on the table that we have paid in taxes to help those 500,000 citizens have health care. Cruel and wasteful. It is cynical because we have had three budgets on the table. This conference report only includes two, and nobody on this side of the aisle has had a peep to say about it. I got it yesterday at 8 o'clock, you know, some 800 pages to read before two to come in here and talk about. It's not amendable. There is only one direction to go with this budget, and that is to vote it down, veto it, and start a genuine negotiation that includes everybody in North Carolina. Our governor presented his budget. We all got a copy. You all knew exactly what he had in mind, what the priorities of our governor and the Democrats in this House were. They were to expand Medicaid and close the coverage gap, and to provide the necessary investments to move North Carolina forward. It is cynical to say that the governor hasn't made that perfectly clear, that we haven't made it perfectly clear, but it's nowhere to be found in this budget. Now I want to say a word or two about the SCIF scam. This is nothing but good old-fashioned leadership pork made institutionalized. The leadership can take, skim off 4% of the gross budget of the state for projects that the leadership finds meritless. And one legislature cannot bind another. So you can't make a 10-year plan and say everybody's going to be included. Because every time you elect another group of leaders, another legislature sets their priorities, and two-thirds of us will be kicked to the back of the bus every time that happens. The fair way, the timely way, the certain way, the guaranteed way to invest in North Carolina is a citizens-approved bond, just like the governor proposed. We started out there, the speaker started this session promising us a bond. Because that's certain. We had the NC Connect bond, bipartisanly passed, really helped North Carolina. We have not had a true education bond in 20 years. It's time. It's time. It's cynical to pretend that you will be included in this budget when we know you can't bind a future legislature and you will really be left out. We have pulled your leg. That's what's cynical about it. The treatment of HHS. You know, it's not what we can do for you. It's what we can do to you. This is a budget that's a seam rather than B budget. We need to vote it down. We need to get serious about including everybody. We need to take the best ideas that move North Carolina forward. And I contend that two of them are expand Medicaid with the $5 billion added to this, transform Medicaid in North Carolina for success, not failure, and invest in North Carolina where everybody knows what they're going to get, when they're going to get it, for certain, it's fair, and it's citizens approved. I encourage you to vote this budget down, come back again, and let's try again. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen, rise?
To speak on the report.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The last time this year's budget was debated, I voiced my concern about the health and human services funding we've appropriated to an organization called the Human Coalition and the expansion of their Continuum of Care pilot program. In the last fiscal year, they received an appropriation of $300,000, and even though the Department of Health and Human Services did not recommend that we increase their funding this year, the conference committee report quadrupled the Human Coalition funding to $1.2 million. In a report to the Joint Legislative Oversight Commission on April 30th, DHHS stated that, quote, the model piloted by the Human Coalition has not been subject to independent research or evaluation, and therefore it cannot be identified as evidence-based or even a best practice, end quote. Because the Human Coalition failed to submit information in violation of its contract with DHHS, they could not determine the effectiveness or the cost of expanding the pilot program and could not offer an informed recommendation. Despite this, this body has ignored that report and given more of our taxpayer money to an out-of-state group who has consistently failed to comply with its state contract. Ignoring departmental recommendations by recklessly funneling more money toward organizations like the Human Coalition is irresponsible government and a misuse of taxpayer dollars, plain and simple. After reviewing this budget since yesterday when I saw it for the first time, I couldn't help notice the addition of several new line items in the Women's and Children's Health section. These line items appropriate a total of $2.24 million to 10 crisis pregnancy centers, an increase of over $1 million from the budget previously debated on this floor. A woman who is facing an unintended pregnancy deserves medically accurate, comprehensive, and unbiased information, but this budget does everything it can to undermine that by devoting $2.24 million towards organizations and clinics that are intent on scaring women who are in need of accurate and well-informed care. Taxpayers deserve to know where their money is going, and they deserve to know that it is being spent responsibly. This is not responsible spending. Thank you.
Members, yesterday was a long day. Today I wasn't sure. Just as a small token of appreciation, I wanted to invite you all to have some ice cream in the back. There's some in the back. Have whatever you want. It's back there, so enjoy. Didn't know if it might be a long day or not. For what purpose does the gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, rise?
To debate the conference report.
Jones recognized. Debate the conference report.
Members, we've heard a lot of discussion yesterday and today. The fact is, we are sent here to make a difference in the lives of the people of North Carolina. Most legislation we pass, let's be honest, will not matter to most North Carolinians. But this budget will make a difference to the citizens of North Carolina. It will make a difference to the 130,000 state employees who will receive a 5% increase in their salary in addition to the 5 bonus days. I remember being a state employee and how much those 5 days meant to me to be able to take my family on vacation. It will make a difference to the 1,000 North Carolinians, the most vulnerable citizens, who have been on the innovation waiver list for 10 to 15 years. It will make a difference to the 4,200 senior citizens who will benefit from the increased funds for the home and community care block grants. It will make a difference to the foster parents who give of themselves and sacrifice to be foster parents. It will make a difference to the single unwed mothers who will benefit from the $1.5 million each year in recurring funds to the nurse family partnership. It will make a difference to the children who will benefit by way of new books from the approximately $500,000 for the Reach Out and Read program each year. So I take exception that the Health and Human Service budget in particular will not make a difference in the lives of North Carolinians. Because if you look at it, you look at the investments we've made and the difference we've made with this budget, members, it will make a difference. This is a good budget, and I encourage you to support it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative R. Price?
To speak on the conference.
The gentleman has the floor.
I really am amazed at some of the comments coming in the debate on this conference report. Quite frankly, the accusations and things that are just not true. There's been a little bit of talk about the funding going to the pregnancy care centers, publicly maligning nonprofit agencies who seek to improve the lives of women and women's health. The Human Coalition was specifically named as repeatedly not complying with their contract, and that's just patently false. It's a way to malign when you have an open hostility to grants going to faith-based organizations. The Supreme Court ruled that such hostility is impermissible. U.S. Supreme Court recently affirmed in the context of the grant process that religious organizations, including houses of worship, cannot be disqualified from receiving government funds for which they are otherwise eligible merely because they are religiously affiliated. That's Trinity Lutheran Church of Columbia versus Comer. Faith-based organizations are not required to compromise on their religious character, as reflected in their hiring practices, board composition, mission statements, for example, in order to participate on equal terms as secular nonprofit organizations in the provision of secular services. Therefore, the Human Coalition may not be disqualified from assisting the state to provide social welfare services merely because it's faith-based. Therefore, the open hostility exhibited by this chamber for the grant for specific, neutral, and secular purposes because Human Coalition is simply a faith-based nonprofit runs afoul of the Supreme Court ruling. This is what they do. In the letter referenced by a representative recently, it says that the letter acknowledges that the state provided aid for the pilot program in a neutral manner and for secular purposes, and that the program offers counseling that focuses on understanding each woman's medical, physical, emotional, social needs, and providing support. They do that by offering services such as pregnancy testing, which is the first step in receiving medical aid, Medicaid, ultrasound, pregnancy counseling, STD testing, treatment, anemia, prenatal vitamins, medical referrals. They go on and assess the immediate challenges causing a program participant to seek an abortion and eliminate these challenges by assisting the program participant in connecting to appropriate resources. The care coordinator shall personally assist a program participating in connecting the appropriate resources with the appropriate agency. They provide help in medical insurance, financial assistance, employment assistance, child care assistance, material assistance, transportation assistance, utility, legal, education, even housing and health care, adoption assistance. They provide a food bank, diaper bank, and clothing assistance. All of these are staffed by medical professionals who are doctors and nurses and technicians by day in our hospitals, fully licensed. And then they volunteer because they want to help these women and families and men in crisis situations, however they determine that. So to sit here and malign them because you disagree that they are cut out of the process and can't help people in our effort as a state to help those most needy simply because they're religious based is wrong. It's wrong. And the Supreme Court said so. I turn now to the capital budget. I laugh when I think of the slush fund comment. Let me read you a few of these. The Reedy Creek Laboratory going to DEQ for water quality. That's a slush fund. The Art Museum, North Carolina Zoo. That's a slush fund. Medical examiners that's been on that there. We're trying to fund that for three budget cycles, to my understanding. That's a slush fund. That's a good one. San Marcan. The ECU library, the crime lab, all of these, Fayetteville State University, North Carolina STEM building, UNCC Cameron Burson building renovations, UNCG Jackson Library, Winston-Salem State University. I can go on and on. Is this a compromise? Yes. But to malign this and call it a slush fund when we're putting $1.5 billion to K-12 education, and let me just say how we're doing it, with cash. I don't know about you, but where I come from, cash is better than credit. We're putting $500 million in the first 3 years in cash. Do you know how much they've gotten out in the Connect NC bond? Less than $600 million of the $2 billion. Now, they're supposed to issue another $600 million real soon this summer, and I hope they do. But we're putting $1.7 billion. $1.4 of it is in cash in the first 2 years. Yesterday, you heard it say that debt's not a bad thing. I understand the context of that question. I was one of the lead sponsors for the Connect NC bond. I do understand that. But to simply say and imply that we can actually get these projects cheaper by going into debt, that we've got this one-time money that we're going to use on recurring expenses is laughable. To say that it's cheaper, ladies and gentlemen, we have an opportunity to do better than bond. Tell that to the college students who are strapped with debt, that they're debilitating in their opportunities because of the debt that they have taken on. What is our solution that's been proposed? To pay with cash to get them out of debt. Why would you advocate that we take on that debt when we have the cash and a better plan not to do so? Ladies and gentlemen, I ask for your support on the conference.
Members, take a brief break from the budget bill to ask the pages to come forward, please. To our pages, I hope you've had a great week. You've had an opportunity to observe some debate. And also, before you leave today, you have an opportunity to take some free ice cream with you. But I hope you've learned a lot about your government. I hope you've had a chance to make friends this week. And before we thank them, I also wanted to especially mention one of our pages, Madison Goodwin, who is the daughter of former Representatives Wayne Goodwin and Melanie Goodwin. So I hope you had a great time this week as well, Madison. And just want, with my colleagues, please join me in thanking our pages for our service this week. Pages, you are excused at this time. Have a great summer. The gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, recognizes the debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand for the almost 300,000 Durham residents, the people that I grew up with in Beaufort County, and on behalf of the almost 10 million people that call North Carolina home. When I sought this office, I spoke of my vision for a better North Carolina, and this budget does not achieve or move us on the path to making truly better the lives of the people of North Carolina. A friend once told me that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who remain neutral in the face of a moral crisis. For this, I cannot stay neutral, nor can I remain silent. Regarding the innovation waivers, we have 12,000 people waiting to have access to critical services. I would have recommended that we would take 1,000 to 1,250 people off the list versus the 500 that proposed every single year. We have to think really critically about the struggling parents who need the support to raise a child with a developmental disability. This budget doesn't include a school construction bond that would have helped with the crumbling infrastructure in our schools and is a guarantee to help every district in our state across North Carolina. As an HBCU grad, I am disheartened to see that the HBCU Advisory Council was not included, and that no HBCUs were named on the Teaching Fellow Expansion List. This is key to diversifying the teaching workforce. Also, for the life of me, I cannot understand why we're asking for a special session to expand Medicaid. Access to health care cannot wait for the 500,000 people that need it. Some of you may not know people who are in need, but I do. They are depending on us to make good decisions on their behalf, and every other state that has expanded Medicaid has yet to regret it. And lastly, as a former teacher, especially because the majority party has been in power for so long, our teachers should be at the national average. And with this budget, we are not close. Teachers work hard, deserve our respect, and most importantly, need supplies because they love our children and they believe in the future. I recommend to you, for the love of our state, to vote against this budget and work with the governor to build a budget that truly will help the weak grow strong and the strong grow great. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer Rice?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to debate the conference report. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we heard a lot of talk yesterday about compromise. And on to today, we heard about compromise. And, you know, I think the public doesn't give us enough credit for the compromise that happens in this chamber. They only hear about the bills that we don't compromise on. They don't recognize that usually in an annual session we pass several hundred bills that we've compromised on, many of which pass unanimously. Now let's have some real facts about what it'll take to get to compromise in this chamber, because what's going to happen most likely next is if we see a gubernatorial veto, then there's going to be about a week of gnashing our teeth about will there be the ability to override the veto. And then I think that actually we will see that the veto will be upheld. At that point, we have to start over. The people in North Carolina want us to work together. Yesterday, today, we're fighting back and forth across this aisle, Democrat against Republican. And I clearly have a side, and I clearly believe which side is right. But Representative Horn from the other side of the aisle reminded me last weekend that although our adversaries may be the other party, the enemy is the other chamber. And I think that we actually have the ability in the House of Representatives to go beyond compromise and get to consensus. You've told us that you want to have a conversation about Medicaid, and we want to believe that. We opened the session working together on a bond package, and that's something that we want to continue to try to work together on. There are many other priorities in the budget which we all agree upon. The question is, can we work together in this body, the body that we're responsible for, to come to a consensus on the things that we agree upon that actually those folks across the hall probably don't agree with us? And then can we go build consensus with them? Eventually, we'll have to work with the governor, but we're the legislative branch. And after the veto, it'll be back in our hands. Let's do it differently. I don't know what it'll take. Maybe it'll take a few of you and a few of us sitting down together and figuring out where we start. But it can't happen the way that it's happened thus far, or else we're just going to be stuck, and the entire state of North Carolina is. So we'll play out the game for the next 2 weeks, and then let's start a new game. Thank you.
For our purpose, gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell Rice.
Speak on the report.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to take exception to the bias that was shown for the support of the pregnancy centers. I've personally served on the board of a pregnancy center for over 20 years as chairman, treasurer, and member at large. My wife served as a center director for more than 10 years and a volunteer for an additional 10. During that time, we served people of all types. There was never any discrimination. It was generally people who were not in good financial situations. We would provide them with services and care before, during, and after. When the child was born, many of those children I still know today. When you talk about the pregnancy centers, please go visit the pregnancy center in your neighborhood and see who they service. Realize what you're talking about, because I honestly don't think you do. If you did, you would not feel the way you do about those centers. I have never seen one of them discriminate for any purpose whatsoever. All they do is serve the people that walk through the door with no bias and with love. I keep hearing that we haven't provided the Medicaid expansion. Well, that's because it would probably bankrupt our state. Let's talk about what we did do. Everybody wanted raises for the teachers. We got them. Everybody wanted state employees to get raises. We got them. The teachers would come into my office and complain that they didn't have money towards school supplies, so we figured out a way to actually get that money into their hands. We put more money into schools than's been done in the past by far. Then you talk about the pork projects. Let me give you the pork projects in Beaufort County and Craven County. One of them, a friend of mine, Ed Booth, you may or may not know Ed, he's a Democrat. He asked me if I might be able to help him get some money to put in a memorial park for P.S. Jones over near the Boys and Girls Club. That's one of the projects that I have in there. Two other parks also in the poorest sections of the cities that I represent. A community center that will serve as a storm shelter for a city that didn't have the money to build one, and the homes are so old when there's storms in that city, the people need a place to go. Are you really going to call that pork? Is that what you view this as? Helping the city, the counties, and the people that we're elected to represent is pork? I don't think so. I think I'm doing exactly what I was sent here to do. These people asked me for these projects. These aren't things that we went down and said, oh, let's throw some money here or throw some money there, namby-pamby. These are all projects that are appropriately funded with taxpayer dollars. They're going to serve the taxpayers in the 79th District. I fought to get more money for our school systems, and it happened. Look at how much more we put into this school system in North Carolina this year. At the college levels, community colleges are getting millions of dollars more. I honestly don't see how you can sit there and complain about a budget that does this because you simply didn't get one little wish list. I encourage everybody to vote green on this budget.
The chair has advised the majority leader that the chair would allow the majority leader to have the final word today. So any members wishing to debate would be asked that they activate their lights. For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise? For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To speak a second time.
Ladies recognized.
Thank you. Members, I just want to clarify Medicaid expansion. It certainly would not bankrupt the state. Your federal tax dollars would pay for 90% of the cost, and the 10% match would be paid by an assessment on hospitals and providers that would benefit greatly by being able to provide services to Medicaid-insured patients and to uninsured patients. So that there is no downside to Medicaid expansion. And I just want to make sure we all understand that. If anyone has any questions about any deficit or any problem with Medicaid expansion, we need to discuss that because there is no downside.
Final debate on the bill. The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, as elected officials, we have a responsibility to govern. We have a responsibility to our towns, our communities, our cities, and the citizens we represent to pass a budget.
And now we're not going to agree on everything. We all know that. But it's our duty to put people above politics. There are many different and passionate opinions on Medicaid expansion. We can and should have that debate and other ways to improve health care here in North Carolina. But holding up an entire state budget because it doesn't include Medicaid expansion, it's not fair to the people we serve. Frankly, this type of dysfunction and petty politics is what we all, on both sides of the aisle, really hate about Congress. So let's take our partisan lenses off for just 1 second and reflect on what is actually in this budget. I believe we all can agree that pay increases for state employees, the largest in decades, is important. I trust that we all agree teacher raises, especially to those veteran teachers, is important. I have confidence that we all agree school construction dollars, especially in areas of rural North Carolina where we have schools that are still in use today that were built in the 20s. The school construction dollars are vitally important. I believe that we all agree that doing what we can to clear the backlog on rape kits is important. And I know we all agree, because I've seen it happen, that adding an additional $113 million in disaster recovery, not just for Hurricane Matthew, but Hurricane Florence, for tornadoes in Greensboro, forest fires and mudslides all over our state, is vitally important to the citizens that need it. We all agree on that. These are just a few things that will have real impact on the lives of real people that we represent. I've talked extensively with many of you. I know you understand how important this budget is to the people back home. Let's put politics aside. Let's do the right thing for our state and the citizens that we represent and the real people of this state. Let's come back and have a real debate on health care and ways to enhance that here in North Carolina. And let's not hold up a $24 billion budget over petty politics. I urge you to vote green, and I ask that you join me in supporting this conference report. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question before the House is the adoption of the conference report, the House Bill 966, on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 64 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The conference report to House Bill 966 is adopted and the Senate will be so notified. Special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 966, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to make basic changes appropriations for current operations of state agencies, departments, and institutions. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. It is ordered that House Bill 966 be enrolled and sent to the governor by special message. For purpose, lady from Pitt, Representative Smith rice.
To be recorded as a no. Thank you.
Lady will be recorded as having voted no on the adoption of the conference report. House Bill 477, the clerk will read. House Bill 474, excuse me, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Destin Hall, Carson Smith, and Faircloth, House Bill 474, a bill to be entitled an act creating offenses of death by distribution of certain controlled substances and aggravated death by distribution of certain controlled substances. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, recognized for a motion.
Motion to concur.
Gentleman has moved that the House do concur. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, what I would tell you about is that this bill continue to be worked on in the Senate, work with Senator McKissick and Senator Daniels. I'll try to tell you what the change, the simple change is. There was many debate about this. I work with Representative Beasley, of course, and Representative Reeves. And what we did on the Senate side is on page 1, line 29, there was great debate over here about the term the person unlawfully sells or delivers as part of a sale. What we did in the Senate is take that phrase out. And so the way it reads now is that the person unlawfully sells at least one controlled substance. So I think that meets the further compromise there. This is supported by all law enforcement agencies, the Conference of DAs, the highest support from the Sheriff's Association, the Police Chiefs Association, received great bipartisan report over there in the Senate. And this bill doesn't criminalize the addiction, but this bill will ensure that those who are working against us by selling lethal drugs to vulnerable people will be held accountable for actions. And I ask for your vote.
What purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Moray, arise?
Thank you. To debate the bill.
The lady has the floor and may debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. I know we've debated this bill before it went to the Senate. It is improved. I greatly appreciate Representative Arp's concern on this. I think we all have a concern about deaths, with especially opioids. Once again, I'm afraid this bill is missing the mark. And as it's been said before, this can deter Good Samaritans from calling 911 in case of an overdose to get medical help for someone who might be dying from an overdose. It's an unintended consequence, but it's a real consequence. Other states have done this death by distribution. It has not reduced opioid deaths. It has prevented emergency services to come in and help save people. We don't want to be prosecuting family members and friends when two people with a minor sale could be involved in sharing drugs and someone is in dire need of emergency services. I wish we could work on this more. I wish we could get better drug treatment, drug courts. That's the way to go to reduce these deaths. This bill is not the way. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, arise?
To see if Representative Art would yield for a question.
Would the gentleman from Union yield to the gentleman from Forsyth?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, certainly.
He yields.
The question I have is, under this bill, would bartering constitute sale?
If I understand your question, did you say would bartering constitute sale? The way I understand it, and I'm not an attorney, but I'll get the answer is yes. It doesn't have to be money. Many times sex acts can be traded and that can be prosecuted as well. And maybe some of the other attorneys can address that.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House concur in the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 474. Those favoring the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 82 voting in the affirmative and 29 in the negative, the House has concurred with the Senate committee substitute of House Bill 474. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 495. The clerk will read.
Representative Miguel Reff, House Bill 495, a bill to be entitled an act to prohibit municipalities from regulating off-site wastewater systems. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The lady from Carteret, Representative Mikhail Raft, is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to make a motion to not concur on House Bill 495. The Senate made some changes that we need to discuss with them, so I'd like to have a little more time to work on this if you would vote green to not concur.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House not concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 495. Those favoring the motion will vote aye. Opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote with 109 voting in the affirmative and 2 in the negative. The House has not concurred with the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 495, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 529, the clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Rydell, Conrad, and Holly, House Bill 529, a bill to be entitled Utilities, Water, and Wastewater Consumption. General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the same bill. They didn't change the part about the utilities, wastewater, no, of no opposition. What they did was the Senate added a mechanism that regulated large lagoon pools. These are very new things, and basically they're going to be treated under our current building codes and regulations as smaller pools. So it tightens up regulation on those. I know of no opposition. I ask for your motion to concur, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Union has moved that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 529. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House do concur in the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 529. Those favoring the motion will vote aye. Opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 110 voted in the affirmative and 1 in the negative, the House has concurred in the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 529. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. What purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, arise?
On Senate Bill 474, I would like to be recorded as a no.
The lady from Pitt will be recorded as having voted no on the concurrence vote for House Bill 474. What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, arise?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be recorded as aye on 474.
The gentleman from Cumberland will be recorded as having voted aye on the concurrence vote for House Bill 474. What purpose does the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, arise?
Wish to be recorded as an aye on House Bill 495.
The gentleman from Caldwell will be recorded as having voted aye on the concurrence vote on 495. House Bill 747. The clerk will read.
Representatives McNeil, Faircloth, Floyd, Carson, Smith, House Bill 474, a bill to be entitled an act to require law enforcement agencies to enter missing child, missing person, or unidentified person's information into the National Missing and Unidentified Person System after 30 days have passed and the person has not been found or identified. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Randolph, Representative McNeil, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move that the House do concur to the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 747 and to debate that.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the bill.
Basically, the only change that was made in the bill as it went over, mostly technical, and then there was some small changes in there to make sure that missing children were covered as well as adults. And so I'd appreciate your positive vote.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
To ask Representative McNeil a question.
Would the gentleman from Randolph yield to the gentleman from Cabarrus?
I will.
He yields.
Thanks, sir. I have no problems with the bill. Just a question that kind of sort of a concern as to why it has to wait 30 days. You know, I think I'd want help sooner than that if I were in the situation.
The gentleman's recognized.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, Representative Pittman. In North Carolina, there is no waiting period for making some or reporting someone missing. That is in a regular law enforcement database. So there is no waiting period. This is a different database that operates on, it's a federal database, but it operates on a totally different principle. It's a backup basically to the one that's there. It's basically saying if someone's not located through the first process, this is a second process. And that's why the waiting period for 30 days. So there is no waiting period in North Carolina.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 747. Those favoring concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote, with 111 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House has concurred in the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 747. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. House Bill 770, the clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, Bell, Jones, and Zachary, House Bill 770, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify and simplify the licensees' qualifications for licensure and to require recognition of the licensing board for certain apprenticeships and training experiences. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
Well, the lady from Surrey, Representative Stevens, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. I move that we do concur with the amendments to House Bill 77, and would like to speak to those.
The lady is recognized and may debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. Actually, the Senate worked on making this a much better bill. They made sure that we had, in terms of crimes that would just absolutely be considered for banning a license, would be violent and sexual in nature crimes. They also made some additional provisions for the Board of Realtors, who said, while we want to cooperate and give these people the opportunity to find out before they go through their training that they have the ability to get a license, we need a little bit longer time. I was surprised to find out the Board of Realtors gets 800 applications a month for people wanting to sell real estate. So most of the tweaks they made were very good, and they were in cooperation with some of these boards who had special needs, and we'd ask that you concur.
What purpose does the gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, arise? Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House do concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 770. Those favoring concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 111 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, the House has concurred with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 770. The bill is ordered and enrolled and sent to the governor. Members, we'll move into House Bill 871. This one's a little bit different. There is a Senate amendment, so the House would be considering whether or not it would concur in the Senate amendment. The clerk will read the amendment to House Bill 871.
Senator Newton moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 8, through page 2, line 2, by rewriting the words to read. House Bill 871, a bill to be entitled an act to protect the interests of designers, particularly small entities, from unfair contracting to duty to defend requirements to violate the existing public policy of North Carolina. General Assembly, North Carolina.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like a motion to concur an amendment, the Senate amendment.
Would the gentleman like to speak further
and
on
speak to the bill?
The
yes.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to first thank my co-sponsor, Representative Floyd, Representative Reeves, on this important bill. If you recall, this bill protects small business and minority business owners from unfair contracting practices. We have MWBE, small business participation goals, and then we hand them a contract that says you have a duty to defend before you're even proven that you are at fault at all. And so this can be devastating there. And so it's an extremely important bill. We got everybody on board now. It's a consensus bill, worked with the contractors and so forth. And that's what the amendment does, is basically change the form and the language to conform. It still does the exact same thing. It passed in the Senate 45-0, 113-1 here in the House, and the amendment will catch us that other one here in the House, Representative Bell.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House do concur in Senate Amendment 1 to the House Committee Substitute of 871. All those favoring concurrence will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 111 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, the House has concurred with Senate Amendment Number 1. The amendment is ordered. Amendment is ordered enrolled with the bill and sent to the governor. House Bill 924, the clerk will read.
Representatives Destin Hall and Horn, House Bill 924, a bill to be entitled to teacher contract changes, General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do concur with the Senate Committee Substitute of House Bill 924.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee Substitute of House Bill 924. The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'm going to explain one part of the bill, and I believe Representative Horn will explain the other. My part deals with clarifying what a year means for purposes of teacher contracts. It just simply clarifies what most school board and school board attorneys think that it means. The definition was deleted some years ago. There's no known opposition to that provision, and I appreciate your support. Mr. Speaker, I'd ask you recognize Representative Horn to explain the remainder of the bill.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, whilst in the Senate, the Senate added the economic and financial literacy portion that's actually in our budget, as we debated earlier today and some of you heard in committee. The economic financial literacy portion of the budget is inserted here really as a policy so that DPI and the state board can get started working on developing the curriculum, training the teachers, and be prepared so that the freshmen entering school this coming year, that sometime during their four-year period will take an economics and financial literacy course, which is required for graduation. One of the top concerns that we've heard around the state is how little our kids know about the cost of credit, credit scores, mortgages, etc. Although it's being taught in some schools now, it's not being taught in all schools, and we feel this is a good amendment to the bill so that DPI and State Board can get rolling. We appreciate your support of the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? What purpose does the gentleman from Brunswick, Representative Eiler, arise?
For a question for the bill sponsor, Representative Horn.
Would the gentleman from Union yield to his seatmate?
Yes, sir, I yield.
And I apologize to the body. I could have leaned over and asked the question earlier, but didn't realize this was coming up in this form. I'm hearing, Representative Horn, that the some teachers are concerned that this adding the course, actually something that's already being taught and something that will disrupt the current curriculum as being presented, be disruptive rather than productive. Is that, is any basis for that?
As I mentioned, if I may respond, as I mentioned in my remarks, we're working with DPI and the state board so that there is not a disruption of the social studies curriculum or the CTE curriculum. We're just trying to find the right place for it to go and ensure that the teachers are properly trained. Thanks very much.
What purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, arise?
To ask the Representative Horn, I don't think he's a bill sponsor, but a question, please.
Would the gentleman from Union yield to the lady from Wake?
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, we've gotten a lot of email about all this. I know you have, too. And I am very concerned about some of the things that I've heard from the social studies teachers. And I just wanted to ask you a few questions just so that I can understand more fully where we are on this piece. I think you did just answer one of them. One of the things that they have said is that this would eliminate the personal finance courses currently offered. Is that not accurate?
That's not accurate. It will enhance the personal finance. We're going to make it a requirement for graduation. We're not going to eliminate it. That's the whole sense of this bill.
Well, the one I'm
would the gentleman up. Yield to an additional question?
I yield.
He yields.
Further clarify the question. I'm talking about the one that's offered by the career and technical ed departments.
Again, we're not going to eliminate that. It's part of the career technical ed now. The fact is, I met this morning with some folks at CTE over at DPI, as well as in the social studies group, and they're working together to figure out what works best for the students so that they have options and that they get the education that they're going to need for and the tools they're going to need for the rest of their life.
Another question, please, sir.
Would the gentleman yield to an additional question?
I do.
He yields.
And there's also been a concern expressed about this reducing the number of students that will be taking AP U.S. history. Is that accurate?
It is not accurate. We have a requirement and an allowance in North Carolina. Students are allowed to opt out of History 1 and History 2 in favor of AP U.S. History. It's in the best interest of North Carolina, its students and the parents, to continue these AP courses. They're valuable for college credit. They're going to save people money. And we want to raise the bar in every circumstance.
Thank you. Debate the bill briefly.
The lady has the floor. May debate the motion.
While I am in total support of us looking to ways in our curriculum to encourage our students before they graduate from our great public high schools in North Carolina to be better prepared to face the challenges that they have with perhaps credit cards in the future, student loans, and so forth, I am concerned about the fact that there's been a lot of concern expressed by those teachers across the state who are teaching these courses and feel that this isn't the right approach. I had hoped that we might take this to conference committee and perhaps consider further some of the recommendations that have been made by some of the teachers that have reached out to me. And so I will not be able to support it. Thank you, sir.
What purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the motion.
The gentleman has the floor. May debate the motion.
I beg forgiveness of colleagues who get tired of the education debates that we have on the floor where we get into some nitty-gritty detail. I want to clarify one point about the fear that there is for the course selection issue here. Representative Horn is exactly right that students can choose to take AP U.S. History instead of taking U.S. History 1 and 2. The concern with adding this course to the curriculum is that most students sign up for U.S. History 1 as a freshman student, and they're not thinking about AP classes when they're going into ninth grade. They usually make the decision to take AP classes going into 11th or 12th grade. And so if you've already taken U.S. History 1 or U.S. History 1 and 2 in your first 2 years, you still have to take this and you have to take another class. You may not end up taking AP U.S. History because you wouldn't meet the distribution requirements for social studies because you'd get to the point of making that decision too late in your career. So I'm in the, quite in the middle on this bill because I think that that is a likely to be an inconvenient consequence out of a very well-intentioned bill to help educate our kids. I just think that we need to pay attention to that issue going forward, track the data, and figure out is it something that we need to come back and fix later.
What purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, arise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor, may debate the motion.
Colleagues, I want to stand in support of this bill today. Particularly, I am the son of an educator. My dad is a master's of history degree, so he would not want me to do anything that would damage students learning about U.S. history or any type of history or culture. But in addition to that, I stand in support of this bill, in particular because of the fact that I believe that every student in the state of North Carolina needs to take a financial literacy class, and I support the requirement as a part of graduating. In particular, we have conversations in reference to individuals having the opportunity to select as an elective, taking financial literacy as is offered today. The challenge with that is that you must have in your household today someone who perceives that taking the financial literacy class for yourself, discover the fact that you need to take the financial literacy class, and that is not always the case. This would ensure that every student that graduates high school in North Carolina has taken it, regardless of the financial and economic standing of the households in which they reside in.
What purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Horn, arise?
Speak a second time on it.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the motion a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to assure everyone I have actually reached out to and worked with teachers across the state on this issue. In fact, I've just got some emails today encouraging me and some not quite as complimentary toward this effort. But I think at the end of the day, we all agree that our kids and ourselves actually need to know a whole lot more about financial literacy. I hope you're supportive.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the motion that the House do concur in the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 924. Those favoring concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 73 voting in the affirmative and 38 in the negative, the House has concurred in the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 924. The bill is ordered sent to the governor. Correction to that announcement, the bill is ordered enrolled and then sent to the governor. We're going to move now to Senate Bill 500 on page 2. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 500. The President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 500, a bill to be entitled an act to make certain modifications to implementation of advanced math courses offered in practicable or grade 6 or higher. The conferees recommend that the Senate and House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approved report June 26, 2019. General Senator North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I make a motion to adopt the conference report.
The gentleman has moved that the House do adopt the report of the conferees, and the gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There was a couple of changes that Senator Smith requested. It was just some permissive language. This bill has been through an excellent process. This is one of the few bills I've seen that's actually the process made it a better bill. The end product here is real good. So I would appreciate your adoption of the conference report.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 500. Those favoring adoption will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 111 voting in the affirmative and none in the negative, the House has adopted the report of the conferees on Senate Bill 500, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 391. The clerk will read.
Representative Bell, House Bill 391, a bill to be entitled an act to amend various transportation network company laws, create new criminal offense relating to transportation network company drivers, and to appropriate funds to assist to create the student awareness campaign related to transportation network companies. General Assembly, North Carolina, enacts.
The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, on March 30th, 21-year-old Samantha Josephson, a senior at the University of South Carolina, called an Uber driver around 2 a.m. after being separated from her roommates during a night out in Columbia. About 14 hours later, turkey hunters found her body 90 miles from the city. If you do just one quick Google search, you'll reveal numerous stories about rideshare impersonators throughout our country. We currently have a public safety issue that needs to be addressed. And with this budget, with this bill, it will be addressed now. The Passenger Protection Act was actually brought to me by a college student after seeing the concerns and seeing the issues that have gone on across the country. We've talked with law enforcement agents. We've talked with legislators here, business owners, rideshare companies, student campus administrators. And I had a chance to talk with the Josephson family, also Representative Seth Rose in South Carolina, who actually ran legislation just like this. We conducted bipartisan working groups that put forth a strong bipartisan bill that addresses not only the rideshare drivers, but also driver safety as well. This bill before you is the least intrusive step we can make to deter these heinous crimes from happening in our state. It requires rideshare drivers to display the license plate number printed in eligible font no smaller than 2 inches in the height from the front of their vehicle to assist riders in confirming that that is their driver. By July 1st, 2020, rideshare drivers must have illuminated signage on their vehicles to further assist riders with driver confirmation. If either of these requirements are not met, the driver will face a $250 fine. This legislation imposes a Class 2 misdemeanor charge for impersonating a rideshare driver, as well as a Class H felony for impersonating a driver with malicious intent. It protects drivers as well, adding a provision that states an assault on a rideshare driver is a Class A1 misdemeanor charge. The bill also sets up a study commission to look at other issues affecting rideshare drivers and the fact that they're being targeted by criminals to report back to this General Assembly in the short session. Also, it appropriates $500,000 to direct DMV to do matching grants for our community college, private colleges, and also public and community colleges, because a lot of these have become targets of these criminals. Ladies and gentlemen, if this measure in our state saves just one life, this bill is worth it. I ask for your support and stand ready to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise?
Speak on the bill. The
gentleman has the floor. May debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I spoke in favor of this bill yesterday in rules, and I'll just repeat my comments from yesterday. These ride-sharing services are great. If you look across the country, DWI charges and deaths are going down across the country, especially in cities and towns that have these ride-sharing services. That's because people like my children's age, they use it when they go out on a night on a town. My children, they both have Uber in their phones, and they both have my credit card in there because I encourage them. That's fine. If you're going to go out drinking, Daddy will pay for you to have a ride home. That's what we want. But we have to recognize that children who are young adults and people who are using these things, they're using it because they are drinking a lot of times, and they're intoxicated. And so the things in this bill are very common sense, just to make sure that you're getting in the right car. With the illuminated sign, it's very reasonable. Representative Bell's not mandating they have it next week. They've got a year to do that. So he's working with the ride-sharing companies. I think this will save lives. I don't see how it's going to hurt the business at all. I think we're very happy with this new technology. It's saving lives, and I encourage you to support the bill.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 391 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Quick, gentlemen, like to vote. Clerk,
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative and none of the negative. House Bill 391 passed a second reading. Will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 391 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 391, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 384, the clerk will read.
Senator Jackson, Senate Bill 384, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify various motor vehicle dealer laws. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Senate Bill 384 is a Senate companion bill to House Bill 455 that you may remember about roughly 3 or 4 weeks back. You may remember when we debated House Bill 455, I told you that it was a work in progress. There was a lot of a negotiation going on between stakeholders, and that had actually gone on for about 3 months. That continued, as I said, as it went over into the Senate, finally reached agreement with all of the stakeholders. So the bill that has come back to us is the bigger part, or the biggest part, House Bill 455. But there are a couple of additions in the bill. The biggest, and I think the one that most are excited about, is the agreement that was reached between the Automobile Dealers Association and Tesla. That's been something that's been going on now for probably about 6 years, and they finally, through a number of negotiations, have finally reached agreement, that is added into this bill. So with that, I'll just maybe take any questions. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 384 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Mr. Setzer, would you like to vote on the bill? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. Senate Bill 384 passes second reading. Will without objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina enact.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Bill 384 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 384, having passed its third reading, is ordered returned to the Senate for concurrence. Ratification of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 966, an act to make base budget appropriations for current operations of state agencies, departments, and institutions.
Chapter bills will be noted. Senate Bill 332, the clerk will read.
Senator Daniel, Senate Bill 332, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify statutes of limitations in response to applicable and action brought against professional land surveyors and to make changes to technical corrections and general statutes concerning real property law. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
This is the bill that was added to today's calendar. Who's handling this bill? Representative Stevens, Representative Arp, gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this does is clarify statute of limitations in a conflict and what apparent conflict for a court of appeals ruling for land surveyors. All it does is make the statute repose and statute of limitations align. I know of no opposition. There was an amendment added that can speak to it from Representative Stevens, but I know of no opposition.
For what purpose, the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise.
I wanted to ask a question of whomever the bill sponsor is.
The gentleman from Union, yield to the lady from New Hanover.
Certainly, I'll attempt to answer the question.
I guess I just wanted to understand. It seems like this is a pretty dramatic change to the way we record deeds and conveyances and deeds of trust in this state. It's a totally different process. I didn't have an opportunity to see this in any committees, and I have to be candid, I don't understand it.
Certainly. I don't believe it's that part of it's controversial. It was in a different Senate bill that was run through, if I can ask my colleague, Representative Stevens, to speak to that.
Does the lady from Surrey wish to take the question from Representative Butler?
I will. Thank you.
She yields.
Yes, ma'am. It is part of the modernization process that we're going through. The real estate section of the Bar Association asked for this. It actually originally had four sections. Only these two sections were deemed non-controversial. They've both been pending in House bills and Senate bills since the first of the year. What it provides for is that you can give some electronic notice that's good for 60 days before you actually get everything filed. You can get everything in order, you can get everything in line, and then you've got up to 60 days to get the final paperwork in. But it puts people on notice that this property is about to be closed in case there are liens that are coming forward. That's part of this Settlement Act. Is that the one you're questioning?
It answers a portion of it. Follow up, please, Mr. Speaker.
Lady Yield. Cheers.
I guess what I'm, another issue is it appears to establish priority. Does it establish priority in terms of how deeds of trust are foreclosed, for example, in the case of non-payment? And how about the cancellation mechanism? So if you file a notice and it says the seller is Bill and the buyer is Bob and the lender is SunTrust, and then that deal falls apart, as they so often do, and they sell to another, and it's Bill and John and Bank of America. I mean, I see a lot of room for havoc in our record keeping, and of course, the way we transfer and convey property is a huge industry in this state, and I fear that it hasn't been vetted. I didn't see it in banking or commerce or any of those things.
Mr. Speaker, may I respond?
Well, you may.
Thank you. There is a procedure within the bill to be able to terminate these proceedings. What it does is clarify so-and-so is going to buy this property. Bill's going to buy this property from John, and there'll be a deed of trust to this bank. That gives some list of priorities of who can get this property unless that procedure is terminated. Does that answer your question any better? If not, I mean, I'm happy to sit with you privately and talk if you'd like.
Yeah, and I just had one more thought. If the speaker would
actually, the chair is about to remove the bill from today's calendar and recalendar this bill for July 9th. So, Mr. Quirk, chair directs the bill be removed from the calendar for July 9th. Representatives Bowles and McGrady recognize and fourth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Bowles and McGrady, Alcohol Beverage Control Committee report. Senate Bill 290, Distiller Regulatory Reform Bill. Favor House Committee Substitute. Unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute and re-refer to Rules Calendar Operations.
Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable counter. House Committee Substitute re-refer to the Committee on Rules Calendar and Operations. The House. House will come to order. The lady from Iredell, Representative Turner, recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends and colleagues, the time has come to assess my life and think about what my future holds. I've decided to choose life in the private sector and remain a legislator. I appreciate the members and staff who've offered such kind words and encouraging remarks as I've announced that my decision to resign today. I've enjoyed working with all of you, and I appreciate the leadership of the House that has enabled me to serve on interesting committees. I've learned so much from this experience, from the bills reviewed and the research demanded to formulate ideas for bills. I've been able to help my constituents many times with information in what seemed to be impossible situations, and often it required listening to their stories and suggesting a way forward. I've been able to have bills drafted, run them in the House and the Senate. I've done that. I've been able, and even signed by the governor, and have them become law containing matter, subject matter that would assist day-to-day life for farmers and other members of the community and across the state. As a dairy farmer's daughter, sister, and friend, I've often looked at subjects by applying the eye of a farmer and their common sense to gain perspective to solve a problem. I've worked with local government to assist in economic development process across the state, and I've supported important agencies and industries to improve working conditions and safety. In the end, I've done my best to represent my district in North Carolina House of Representatives and the state of North Carolina. In the meantime, I've sacrificed many hours of family time, as you have also. And stepping back to realize this, it's time to go. I long for time with my 7 grandchildren and my children, some in High Point, some in Denver, North Carolina, and some in Denver, Colorado. So I've already purchased my plane tickets, and I can't stay any longer. I pray that you will have a successful end to this session and the wrap-up of the whole term. Thank you for the friendship and camaraderie we have enjoyed, and I hope this has been as meaningful to you as it has to me. I bid you farewell.
Members, the chair has extended also the courtesies of the floor to Representative Turner's husband, Donald, her daughter, Kelly Goins, and granddaughters, Sella and Eliana in the back. Would y'all please wave so my folks, members can see you? Thank you. Representative Turner, I know I speak for all of your colleagues in saying that we're going to miss you, but we know that you're going to be very happy, and certainly wish you all the best and hope you will not be a stranger and that we'll see you back here very often. The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a happy, sad day for me in the sense that my legislative assistant, Miss Katie Stanley, her last day. She is going on to bigger and better things, and I just wanted to publicly express the thanks of the people of Union County for your tireless efforts on their behalf, your character, your kindness, your professionalism, your integrity. I just can't say enough. I wish you the best, and I thank you for all your support for us in Union County.
And members, Katie's in the gallery. We can congratulate her on her promotion and thank her for her service. What purpose? The gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, rise.
A point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Rena, I simply say thank you for being such a good friend and colleague. Safe travels and God bless. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Richmond, Representative Brewer, rise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized.
I also want to recognize that my legislative assistant, Judy Boris, is retiring today. I appreciate her greatly for getting me through these past 2 months as I have transitioned into this position. I would not have been able to do it as easily if it had not been for her. So I very much appreciate it. I know she's listening and is probably going to shoot me when I get back over there for saying something. But I truly appreciate everything she's done. She served here a long time with Representative Alice Underhill and my predecessor, Representative Goodman. I want to thank her for all of her many years of service to the state of North Carolina, and I was privileged to have the opportunity to work with her.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be recognized for announcement and a point of personal privilege after the announcement.
Recognized for both.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Republicans, we'll have a short caucus in 12:28 as soon as session adjourns. Please be prompt. For the point of personal privilege, Representative Turner, thank you. You're an amazing individual. You're a good legislator, and your district is going to miss you. We're going to miss you here in this body. I did have the opportunity to talk to Representative Turner and try to convince her to stay, but after 15 seconds of that conversation, I realized there was nothing I could do. She was going to go be happy and enjoy life, and I wish you the best. And so thank you for working with us and serving this body. To all the members in the body, these last couple weeks have been very long. To the staff that's in here, they've been even longer. To our central staff and budget teams, they've been even longer. But we've all pulled through. We're all going to enjoy a nice couple of days of a break. And I just want to say thank you for your work, dedication to the state of North Carolina. So thank you all.
Quiet purpose, gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon Rice.
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues and members, as has been announced, the House Committee on Agriculture will meet tomorrow for such a happy note in 6:43 at 9 a.m. to further consider the Farm Act, which is some important legislation there. For those members of the committee, for all the members of the Agriculture Committee, I really appreciate your sacrifice for staying up here. Because of circumstances beyond our control, we've not been able to properly meet to discuss the provisions of that act. And so I sincerely thank you. And for any of the members that happen to be up here tomorrow that would like to attend the agriculture meeting, you're certainly invited to do so. 9 a.m., 6:43.
Members, for your planning purposes, there will be a no vote session tomorrow morning for the purpose of ratification of bills. There will be no vote sessions next week on Monday and Thursday, but there will be no votes taken up on those days. So for those of you who would like to be here those days, on July 4th on Thursday, please feel free to come by that morning. But for those of you who won't, no complaints. So that's the schedule going forward, and then we will pick back up with our business when we come back in after the July 4th recess on that next Monday. For what purpose, gentlemen from Harnett, Representative Lewis Rice.
For an announcement.
Gentlemen has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, which has noticed which bills it will hear, will meet 20 minutes after session, not 15.
Any further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene Friday, June 28th at 11:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Soka, that the House to now adjourn to reconvene Friday, June 28th at 11:30 a.m. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 124, Small Town Mixed Beverage Election Requirements, is withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government and recommitted to the Committee on Elections and Ethics Laws. The SEER referral to rules remains. Special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of conferees to Senate Bill 500, Conference Committee Substitute, a bill to be entitled an act to make certain modifications to implementation of advanced math courses offered and practicable for grade 6 or higher. When the appropriate action has been taken, both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted.
House Bill 325, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act removing requirements that the Before Resources prescription register to the state in addition to register the federal government determinant discriminating and use of drug testing equipment to detect contaminants, broaden the objects of syringe exchange programs to encompass reducing the number of drug overdoses in the state, and removing the ban on the use of state funds to purchase certain supplies, for concurrence with the Senate Committee Substitute.
House Bill 325 will be counted pursuant to Rule 36B for 7-9-2019, Tuesday.
House Bill 757, Senate Committee Substitute, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to convey certain state-owned lands to Pender County to the use of new jail, a law enforcement center, and to convey certain state-owned lands to the town of Button, for concurrence with the Senate Committee Substitute.
House Bill 757, calendar pursuant to Rule 36B for 7-9-19, Tuesday.
House Bill 411, Senate Committee Substitute, Fourth Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to combine the career of college readiness indicators used for school performance grades and for the purpose of compliance with the federal law in grades 9 through 12, and to require the Board of Education to include additional career and college readiness information on annual report cards, and to allow certain lottery winners to remain anonymous for 90 days, for concurrence of the Senate Committee Substitute.
House Bill 411, calendared pursuant to Rule 36B for 7-9-19. Representative Davis and Stevens are recognized to send forth a Judiciary Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report, Senate Bill 508, Civil Procedures, upon declaration, favor, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Bill 508 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 218, clarify state recognition of Lumbee Indians, favor of House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 218, referred to Rules.
Senate Bill 250, records of excuses for jury duty, favor of House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute, unfavorable calendar. House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 250, re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 420, NC Service Members Civil Relief Act, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 420, re-referred to Rules Committee.
Senate Bill 493, DVPO time of expiration, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 493 referred to the Committee on Rules.
Senate Bill 199, Child Sex Abuse Strengthen Laws, favorable House Committee Substitute, unfavorable Senate Committee Substitute number 2, and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Senate Committee Substitute number 2 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 199 referred to the Committee on Rules.